The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of a deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger, before there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels have left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Well, good evening and a very warm welcome from me. It's great to see you here this evening. And I want to spend a few moments explaining that last Bible reading to us, and particularly the words of the angel. One of you love Christmas ads. They've been going for a while now, haven't they? And a classic kind of ingredient of Christmas ads, particularly this year, nostalgia, kind of trying to create a perfect picture of Christmas. I think Waitrose is particularly tries to do this year. It's a kind of slushy rom-com style. There's the glum widower, played by Joe Wilkinson, who meets Keira Knightley in Waitrose, the best place to meet people, of course. And he wins her heart with the perfect gift, which is a homemade Waitrose-made pie with "I love you" in pastry on the top. And the slogan is, "And they all ate happily ever after." A Christmas ad that's been in contrast to all the rest, I think, this year has been Tesco's. It's a bit of a standout one. What they do is they have different family scenes going on. And they feature tense Christmas moments, family arguments, awkward social moments, conflicting expectations of Christmas, and of course, kids playing up as well. Because truth is, Christmas happens in the mess of many imperfect moments. And their slogan is, "Christmas isn't perfect, but that's what makes it Christmas." I looked up on Tesco's website, and they said this about their advertising campaign this year: "We want the whole country to feel seen this Christmas." Isn't that lovely? And of course, to spend lots of money in Tesco's as well. But it has been touted as the most relatable Christmas advert this year. They're trying to be real, that Christmas is far from perfect. I wonder what you made of that last Bible reading, Jesus' birth. The first Christmas was far from perfect. First century, Jesus' parents lived under Roman rule. Jesus was born in poverty. His first roommates were animals. His first cot was a manger. His first visitors were despised shepherds. But then that's what makes Christmas Christmas. Christmas happened because we are, in fact, seen by God. The Son of God was born because we are far from perfect. The truth is, Christmas happened because our lives before God are a mess. They're broken. And so God sends his Son, Jesus, born into the mess of our world to bring great joy. How is that? Well, to understand Jesus' birth, we need to go to the hills outside of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It's not often you get a glimpse of the supernatural, spiritual world. But honestly, if God the Son is coming into the world, we shouldn't be surprised on the night Jesus is born. That's what happens. And so the thin veil between the natural and the spiritual realm is torn apart on that night. And we have this stunning angelic flash mob to shepherds. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, they're singing this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." What do you make of those words? I mean, are they simply the words of a kind of like a feel-good Christmas ad? Emotional, nostalgic, peace on earth? I mean, are we, in fact, seen by heaven? Does heaven think that earth is picture perfect? Peace on earth? The events of the last 24 hours illustrate there's a lot of anger, hostility, conflict on earth. If we go back and review the last year, there's the war that goes on in Gaza, in Ukraine with Russia, the civil unrest in Sudan and Nigeria, It's that terrible earthquake in Afghanistan that killed so many. We have climate fears. And not to mention our personal lives where there can be conflict and suffering that runs profoundly deep. And maybe that is you here this Christmas. So what is this peace on earth that thousands of angels are singing about as Jesus is born? Well, the shepherd's crazy night had started with just one angel. And they were terrified. In Luke chapter 10, though, the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So whatever you make of Christmas, here's what it's about. It is good news for everyone. Now, most news stories don't affect us personally. This one would. Imagine this as breaking news. Chancellor's budget bonus, £1,000 for every citizen. I mean, wouldn't that be incredible? That would be good news of great joy for all the people. But you know, the good news of Christmas is in fact good news of great joy for all the people. And it's really interesting that the angels give this news to shepherds. You may or may not know this, but shepherds back then, they were seen as complete nobodies, on the fringe of society, despised by anyone that was respectable. And it means this, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, what happened in Bethlehem that night is for you. And it's for me. It's for everyone. It is to bring you great joy and glory to God in heaven and you peace on earth. Let's just push on that a little. What does that look like? Well, do you know it's got everything to do with who is born in Bethlehem that night? The angel announces in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "To you is born, firstly, a savior." A savior. Let's go back to the Tesco's ad. There's a great moment in the Tesco's ad where the cook comes in and she's smiling. She's got the turkey ready. Everyone's sat around the table and she's smiling and she says, "Turkey's ready." And she looks up and my goodness, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife around the table. Everyone is looking glum. It's so tense. And she says, "What happened?" And Grandad down the other end of the room, he says, "I had an opinion. That's what happened." And I think you're laughing because you can relate to it. Well, haven't you had those moments? Those really tense family moments that are just so awkward. Because truth is, we find it hard to keep the good relationships good. Families can be at war. And maybe as you come into Christmas, that is your fear. There's so much conflict in your family. See, the thing is, the human heart is proud and is selfish. That is why we clash with each other. And when you scale that up to a national, international level, that is why we have wars. And that breakdown of our horizontal relationships is because there is a breakdown of our vertical relationship with God. Hearts are at war with God. We live, and this is how we live. It's like what Ben said just now. We live in God's world, and yet we want to be God. And that puts us at war with him. And it is never wise to square up to God, to reject his word. We are like tiny specks in the eternal hand of God, shaking our fist at him. And that invites God's just judgment. But that is precisely why God sends his son Jesus, born into our world, a savior to save us from that just judgment that we deserve. Jesus was born to die. You can't understand Christmas unless you've understood Easter. On the cross, Jesus took divine judgment on our sin. It was the ultimate act of loving substitution, of loving self-sacrifice. And so today, how does the war stop between us and God? Well, it's as we hold up the white flag of surrender to God and we trust in Jesus' death in our place. That is how we have peace on earth with God, and it glorifies in heaven. Can you see that heaven sees us? He sees our imperfect Christmases. He sees our imperfect relationships, our imperfect lives. He sees our sadness. He sees our brokenness. He sees our rebellion against him. And what does he do? He sends his one and only son into our world, born as a baby, to be our savior, to save us. But we need to surrender our lives to him, put our trust in him for salvation. Why would we do that? Well, only if we've grasped who he is. And that's the other thing the angel says. The angel announces in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, to you is born the Savior, but also the Messiah, the Lord. Messiah is another word for Christ. It means God's long-promised king. It means God's one who's anointed for the task to save, to bring peace between us on earth and God in heaven. But Jesus is more than God the Father's Son, who is King. Jesus is God. The angel says that he is the Messiah, the Lord. And that word in the Bible is very often used for God himself. And that's what we see. So in Jesus' birth, God himself steps onto the stage of world history. And then in his life, he does things that only God can do. He's Lord of all. He turns water to wine. He heals the sick. He walks on water. He forgives sins. He raises the dead. He casts out demons. But most incredibly, think of this. As a baby, his little limbs, his body, carefully, lovingly wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger by his mum. Bundle of life. 33 years later, his battered limbs and crucified body, carefully and lovingly wrapped in strips of cloth and placed in a tomb by his friends. A bundle of death. But then 3 days later, came news of joy for all the people. His tomb was found empty. Those strips of cloth were lying there by themselves. And Jesus' resurrected limbs, his powerful body, emerged from those wrap cloths. They walked out of the tomb, bursting with life and power forever. The Savior, Christ, the Lord, Lord of life, Lord of death, Lord of all things, Lord of me. Lord of you. But so what? Well, what did the shepherds do? Here's our last thing this evening. Here's what the shepherds do. They go and find Jesus. They go and find Jesus. In chapter 2, verse 15 of Luke, we read that they say, let's go and see for ourselves what God said. And they hurry off to Bethlehem. They go and find Jesus. On Friday nights, myself and my wife Jenny and Jenny's dad, we went to see Handel's Messiah at the Royal Festival Hall. And we arrived, and there's a large kind of foyer downstairs there. We were standing in the foyer reception area, and we went quite near a steward. And two ladies walked in, and they walk up to the steward, and I was near enough to hear what they said. And the lady said, we've come to see the Messiah. And the steward smiled, raised her eyes, and the lady said, we're not actually him, but Handel's Messiah. But the truth is, the shepherds that night, they could actually go and see the Messiah. Actually him. And truth is, today, 2,000 years later, you and I can actually go and find the Messiah. Actually him. We can have as Ben was saying earlier, a living, real relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, heaven sees us. He sees our imperfect Christmases, our imperfect lives, our imperfect relationships. He sees our sadness and our brokenness. He sees our rebellion against him. But what makes Christmas Christmas is that God sends a perfect Savior to save us. You know, Waitrose's perfect Christmas present is a pie that says, "I love you," in pastry. It's great. But God's perfect Christmas present, his gift, is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says from the cross, "I love you," dying for your forgiveness, your peace with God. It's good news for everyone. So this Christmas, go and find Jesus. Can I give you a really simple ABC on how you do that? A is for accept. Accept that you've sinned before God and you need a Savior. You never benefit from him unless you acknowledge that. Accept that he is Christ the Lord. That's A, accept. B is believe in Jesus, that he was born, he lived, he died, he rose again for you. And trust personally in him for salvation, for forgiveness. Trust in him for God's happily ever after. And C is for confess. Confess that he is Lord and surrender that white flag to him. Give your life to him. I don't know how deep the mess of your life is today, or whether it's completely together, or whether there's profound brokenness and sadness. But here's how to receive God's perfect gift of love this Christmas and know the peace of God in the mess of life.